Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN headline in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, EVs climbed to 10% of new cars sold. By the way, lots of text messages and phone calls about our last half hour topic. I expect we'll get more about this next one on cars that we do and don't drive. And I'll maybe get back to this in the 1 o'clock hour. Some of you have some very poignant stories and precise observations at 1 o'clock. But back to vehicles sold in the world, 10% are now electric vehicles. And the journal goes on to point out that in Germany, the largest auto market in Europe, electric vehicles accounted for 25% of new vehicle production. In fact, in December, there were more EVs sold in that country than conventional engine cars. In China, it's 19% of sales are electric. In Europe, it's 11%. We lag behind, but the worldwide average is 10%, thanks to the U.S. Tom Appel joins us, the publisher of Consumer Automotive Guide and the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. Welcome back, Tom. I guess those numbers don't surprise you, huh?
They don't surprise me. In fact, I think for most people, we're ramping up just a little bit more quickly than I think anyone thought. And the availability of electric vehicles here in the U.S. is part of the reason why we're dragging a little bit relative to the rest of the world, but we're going to catch up and we're going to see a lot more sales this coming year.
Why are we lagging behind?
We didn't have the cars. The infrastructure was just a little bit low. I think if you were a consumer thinking about doing this, and 5 years ago, if you were going to buy a Tesla, you were probably adventurous, an early adopter. But if you're buying an electric car now, you're probably a regular consumer and you need to make this work with your lifestyle. And if you can't charge at home, it's not really a good thing to do now, but we are seeing more charging stations getting built in larger metropolitan areas, and we are seeing more affordable EVs coming online.
Are we talking about electric cars that are fully electric without a gas-powered engine, or are we talking about a Prius, which has an electric engine, or an electric motor and a gas-powered engine?
You're asking a good question, and the answer that's a little hard to answer because people report differently from different nations. In China, the number they're reporting are what they call NEVs, or new energy vehicles, and that includes things like plug-in hybrids and the rare case hydrogen-powered vehicles as well. In the U.S., we're pretty much talking about just pure EVs.
Wow, 10%. And what's propelling it, rather than what's holding us back, what's propelling it? Is it the cost of gas, or why is it ramping up more quickly than first anticipated?
I think the gas thing was a problem. Like right when a lot of cars came online here in the U.S. for sale, a lot of EVs came on sale, gas prices were peaking at about $5. So people actually considered them. And I think those people, even if they didn't purchase then, thought about it. It's in their heads now, and they're going to be linking electric next time they purchase a car. So we're seeing some after effects of that. And then we've just got some cheaper product coming online, too. The Chevrolet Bolt and Bolt EV. EV and EUV, now available under $30,000, which with some serious range, about 250, 260 miles of range.
Yeah.
So a really credible alternative for people on a budget.
And I looked at one of those at Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet, and they were talking to me about where the charger goes. They thought that their vehicle was superior to some of the competition because of how or where the charging port is on the vehicle itself. Am I making any sense? I'm not real good on this.
They're everywhere. It depends. It depends on the vehicle. Sometimes they're in the grille. They're on the left fender. They're on the right fender. I don't think those have been standardized yet, and it's a little bit of a confusing hassle. Actually, moving forward, when we're trying to put in charging stations in more compact areas, it would make sense if there was some sort of industry standardization so that people would always pull in the same way. But I cannot remember for the life of me where it is on the Bolt, but it wasn't a bad place, as I recall.
Wherever it is, it's the best place, I was told. when you go to a grocery store, when I go to the Jewel, there's a couple of these charging ports or stations right there. And I don't see a place for the person who's using that. to swipe their credit card. Are they getting a free electric charge, or are they somehow paying when they're in a public place like that?
A lot of shopping centers are now working in cooperation with a company called Volta, V-O-L-T-A, and similar companies, where they provide free charging. The electricity is paid for by the shopping center, generally, or the proprietor of the property, and the equipment is paid for by the charging company, in this case, Volta. And what Volta gets out of it is the advertising you watch on the screen. It's also level two charging, so it's not very quick.
Still, it sounds to me like free gas. I mean, wow.
Yeah,
a luxury that
better than nothing.
The rest of us don't have. Is this a good time to buy an electric car in that the technology is forward enough that I don't have to worry about new car glitches? You know, the first time a new product comes out, you don't want to buy the first version of it. You want to buy the second one. Is that where we are?
I think we are there. We are comfortably into what would be the second wave of EVs and EV development. And one of the nice things that's happening now, too, is when there are updates to these vehicles, a software update or something along those lines that can be handled electronically, it can be handled over the air. That's called OTA, or simply by some software update when you bring it to the dealership. So we've seen companies, and Volvo did this, for example, where the range of their vehicle was improved after a year of people driving these vehicles. And they were able to improve the range, not a lot, but enough to matter, simply through a software update.
Is it true that electric vehicles have so fewer parts that mechanically they're more sound? You don't have pistons going up and down and combustion and all that?
There's very little that you need to do to maintain an EV. The electric motor is probably good for the life of the vehicle. You don't have a transmission to speak of. You have a forward and reverse, but there's not much else going on there. But you don't have an emission system. You don't have a fuel system. You don't have a cooling system. So all these things have been removed from the process. What's going to cost more, and people should be prepared for this, is tires. EVs weigh more. They need specific tires, and those tires are going to cost a lot more to replace.
And you don't have to get the oil changed on those, is that right?
Nope, no oil change, no regular maintenance, really.
No place to put the oil. But you would think that there's some friction generated by the thing. Really? You don't have to grease it or lube it once in a while? Nothing like that?
There are maintenance schedules, but they almost always say inspect, inspect, inspect. There isn't actually a lot that happens. So it's good to come bring your car back to the dealership every now and then, make sure they check out stuff. But there is no actual regular maintenance procedures on most vehicles.
Tesla's the number one seller of electric vehicles in the world still, right?
Yeah, Tesla moved a lot of vehicles last year. They sold the most vehicles in the U.S. as well. I think they sold 1.5 million or 1.4 million vehicles globally last year, which is huge. And their Chinese factory, I think it's in Shanghai, is one of the first automobile factories ever to produce 1 million vehicles in a year.
And is one as good as another? That is, I suppose some are better than others, but are they all sufficiently reliable that you can buy them with the same confidence you do gas-powered cars? You're a Ford guy, I'm a Chevy guy. They're both fine vehicles. Is it that way with electric vehicles?
It has been. There's been a lot of complaints about Tesla build quality, but that hasn't seemed to have affected drivability or durability. So there's been some Tesla issues having to do with the paint and the fit and finish and somewhat disappointing interior materials. But I'm not aware that they're specifically unreliable. It's not like you see a lot of Teslas on the side of the road waiting for a flatbed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the case. Electric vehicles have proven to be pretty reliable.
Bob, what's the company in Bloomington? It's Rivian.
Rivian, yeah. I've seen, Tom, how you doing? I've seen a handful of Rivians on the road, and they're pretty cool, little pickup trucks that are electric. But what's the story? I mean, the stock is really low right now, $16 a share. Keeps falling or hasn't been falling. So what's going on? Like, are we going to get Rivians?
Yeah, there's a lot of great question. Rivian is a company down in Normal, Illinois. They purchased the old Mitsubishi plant down there, and they're looking at another factory right now. But they had some really serious startup problems. They had supply chain issues, manufacturing issues. But the product is really well reviewed. I haven't driven one myself. They sold two trucks. The R1S, that is a crossover, in the R1T, which is the pickup, and that's the one you're most likely to see on the road. They also build vehicles for Amazon. And if you live near an Amazon facility, you're probably seeing what they call the EDV, electric delivery vehicle, those are on the roads now. They're really unique signature lighting signatures, and a lot of those are being tested. So Rivian's got stuff going on, and I think they have some cash flow. I don't think they're going to disappear, but their ramp-up has been disappointing. They wanted to build 25,000 vehicles last year. They fell just short, and I think that shareholders punished them for it.
312-981-7200. Lots of texts, and you can call, too. We'll pause and then come back with our guest. We're talking to Tom Appel. He's obviously an automotive expert. He is the publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive. When we come back, let's start with this. One listener says, what's the battery life of an electric car? And what do you do with the old battery? I think you're supposed to throw it into the lake, but I could be wrong about that. And what is the cost of a new battery? What's your question? 312-981-7200. Talking about electric vehicles, and Tom, everybody, of course, wants to know about the battery life. What would you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I understand why people are concerned, because a battery is, in fact, very expensive to replace if you have to replace it. We're seeing increasingly that over the life of a vehicle, at least the first owner, 5-6 years of ownership, your battery is going to retain 80 to 90% of its charge capability. So that's affected a lot by where you charge. If you charge at home, it's going to last a little longer. If you charge using fast charging, it might be just a little bit shorter lived. But there is a federal warranty on this that people should know about, and that's that all EV batteries are covered by federal law for 8 years or 100,000 miles. So it's not something you need to worry about if you're the first owner of the vehicle.
Mm. Are there rebates in place for people that buy electric vehicles?
This is the messiest thing ever. As part of the Inflation Reduction Act, a whole new set of incentives, federal incentives, were issued, but they don't make sense yet because they're based on the country of origin of both the battery and the car. Right. And it's very confusing, and the Treasury Department is still filtering through what cars qualify and what don't. The good news, if you go and buy one right now, everything sort of gets it. It's when they figure out how this law is going to work that cars are going to be excluded.
And what's the price range? I think the new car price average in America is what, Tom, about $46,000?
It late last year, it hit $50,000, according to Cox Automotive. But EVs are going for more. The average transaction price on an EV is more like $66,000.
I thought that the Tesla 300 or something was like $30,000. Isn't there a Tesla for $30,000?
They never actually built the vehicle. Tesla has this habit of introducing a range of vehicles, and then if demand warrants, they might build the cheaper versions, but they've never actually gotten down to doing that. So there is no $30,000 Tesla.
I guess If I was Tesla, maybe I wouldn't either. If I can sell a $60,000 one, why would I build a $30,000 one? Home builders are the same way. Let's pick up a couple of phone lines here. Producer Pete, where do we start on the phone lines? We'll go to Dan first. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN Radio with Tom Appel. What can we do for you?
Yes, I got a quick question. Was wondering how much on average does your electric bill go up when you're charging an EV? Every day, let's say.
Well, that's a good question. The easiest way to do this is a little bit of math. If you add a Chevrolet Bolt, and I like this just because the numbers are easy, it's got a 60 kilowatt hour battery. If you're paying 20 cents a kilowatt, that would be $12 to top off every single day if you topped it off every single day. So that would mean you drove 250 miles every single day. If you top off once a week on that car, your electric bill would go up about $50 a month.
$50 a month. Okay, so how does that sound to you, Dan, then? Is that good, bad, or indifferent?
I think that sounds great compared to what I've been putting in my car for gas. I mean, $50 compared to, you know, what is it, about $60, $70 every week?
Yeah, depending on the vehicle, $70, $80 for some of us. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there like a website compared, you know, what you're, what's considered standard and what, you know, ComEd is, you know, charging in our area?
Was there a gas electric calculator I can go to or something like that, Tom?
I believe ComEd does have one. The federal government, actually the EPA, does a nice job. It's not all grouped in the same place, but fueleconomy.gov is a good place to go. They've got a lot of information there about costs. And I think 20 cents a kilowatt hour is a little bit high for the Chicago area.
It's more like so far.
15, 16, depending where you live. Yeah.
11:53. Good luck to you, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. How about you, John? You're on WGN. How can we help you?
Hi, I was curious about these battery-operated cars. We hear all the time about how great they'll be for the environment. But on the other hand, we also hear that it's not easy to extract the minerals from the earth, create the batteries, dispose of the batteries, and then where in the world are the minerals found? Are they here in the U.S., or are we going to depend on other countries?
I think they're in Africa. What do you know about that, Tom?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's actually what's being discussed right now when we talk about the federal incentives for EVs. What the federal government wants to do is ensure that we are, in fact, getting these constituent materials here in the U.S. But as for being dirty in terms of mining, lithium is messy. It uses a lot of clean water, and it dirties that water. But lithium is going to be sourced in the U.S. soon from the Salton Sea in Southern California. It's very available. It's on the surface. And apparently there's an almost infinite quantity of it there. So that's going to solve the lithium problem. It's the cobalt and the manganese that we still have to get from Africa and from China, and I think from Argentina. That stuff's harder to get. It's not especially dirty to mine, but we are dealing with, you know, less than friendly trading partners.
In general, though, this is a bad way to put it, but good for the environment, bad for the environment. Is an electric vehicle better for the environment when you consider everything as opposed to a gas-powered vehicle?
It is. And obviously, if you live someplace where power is generated from natural gas or nuclear energy instead of from coal, you're doing a better job. But even in coal-supplied electricity areas, your car is cleaner than driving a petroleum-powered vehicle.
So if 815 says, I hear him right, you don't want to buy a used EV. Is that correct?
No, there's no reason not to buy a used EV. What's going to happen when you buy a used electric vehicle, and there's not a lot of those yet, is that part of what the dealer should present you with and probably will present you with is a battery condition statement so that you can calculate what your mileage would be. One of the good things about EV batteries, too, is as it gets older, it'll lose its capacity more slowly. So if you bought a used car with 80% capacity, it's probably going to hold on to that capacity for the next several years.
Tom, this listener says, I've got a detached garage with 15-amp electric service. What would it cost to install a charger in my garage?
So two things there. You have to buy the charger and have the charger installed, and that runs between $500 and $1,500. And then you've got to get that service improved. So if your fuse box will handle 100 or 200 amps, you can just do that by wiring, and maybe that's another $500. If you have to update your fuse box and get a new line in from the electric company, that's a lot more money.
I'm out of time, Tom. This is all good stuff. Well, why don't we have a conversation like this more often?
I would love that.
And you can always listen to his podcast. He's the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast, and you can read more at consumerguide.com. That's publisher Tom Appel. Okay, Tom, we'll call you again. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thank you.